What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Man Cave Podcast, brought to you by our good friends from Toyson Ford and Hy-Vee. And don't forget, shout out to Resonance Branding Company, the official swag provider for the podcast and the radio show. Get that link for some of the swag that's available by checking out the podcast description, and the link is at the bottom there. So, hey, big thanks for tuning in to this episode. We're going to talk a little Brewers and talk a little Bucks coming up here. Also, we got another featured beer. We did it once. The goal was to try to do it every month. We're going to try it again, but we got another beer of the month, if you will. We're going to feature that coming up here. But first, we lead things off with this podcast. I want to talk a little green and gold. And it was announced that the Packers will open up the season on the road in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. We knew this was a possibility. It was talked about for a while now. Mark Murphy, Packers president, a couple weeks ago mentioned it at the owners' meeting that it was between the Packers and the Browns there. And, well, it became official today, Wednesday, April 10th, if you're listening on a different day. Packers will open up their season on the road September 6th to Friday night against the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. So it's the day after the opening kickoff game, which will be the Chiefs playing somebody at Arrowhead on Thursday, September 5th. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm surprised to see the number of Packers fans who are upset about this. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know why you're upset. I mean, if you are, this is the one thing I will say. Yes, it conflicts with high school football. If you or have a kid in high school football, you coach high school football, or you're a fan and you go to high school football games, I understand that part. I totally understand that part. But for the rest who don't have that, I don't know why you're upset. I mean, time-wise, it's going to be – you're not going to have to get up early on a Thursday. It time-wise is going to be similar to a Sunday night or a Monday night game, but this is actually going to be on a Friday night. It doesn't take away from a Packers home game. In fact, the Packers are going to have 9 home games at Lambeau Field this year, the most that they've ever had. Last time, you know, when they switched it to the 17 game, one of those home games was used as a Packers home game in London. So I'm failing to see the problem here. Outside of high school, if you are a high school football player and you might miss it, or you're a coach, or you're a parent, or you're just a big-time supporter of high school football. That I understand, and that I get, and I'm on board with that. But just to complain about it because it's in a different country or it's on a different night, I fail to see some of that. I mean, it's the NFL's a business, okay? They're going to expand. They have been for how long now? It's a worldwide sport. Baseball is a worldwide sport. The NBA is a worldwide sport. Football is trying to do the same. Okay? They've been doing overseas games in London for how many years now? Why should we be surprised about this? Every other team has done it. The Packers did London a couple years ago. I don't understand why the uproar about this. Unless somebody else can give me a valid reason outside of the high school football one, which I agree with, I don't get it. I don't get it. So especially since, you know, the sacred home games of Lambeau Field, they're not taken away from one. This is a year you're going to have more. So, I mean, if you're a Packers fan, get ready to hear about the complaining from, you know, maybe Vikings fans or Bears fans or whatever have you that, oh, great, you know, Lambeau got 9 home games there. I mean, it's stupid because other teams are going to have that too. But I fail to see why people are complaining about this. Are we just complaining to complain at this point in time? I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, I'm not going to the game, so I really don't care. Is it something that would pique my interest in going? Probably not. And if I was a season ticket holder, it's not taken away from a home game. So really, I don't have any qualms about it. I fail to see some of the complaints, the validity behind it. Again, besides the high school football one. And put it this way, from a competitive standpoint, the Eagles, okay? Philadelphia Eagles, a team that they're hoping to get back to the Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni is under a lot of pressure. Jalen Hurts and all that to bounce back this year. They open up on the road. This is one of their home games. I don't know. I'm looking at this from a competitive standpoint, and I'm thinking, hey, Jordan Love doesn't have to go to Philly. Green Bay doesn't have to play in that environment in Philly, which has historically been a pretty good home field advantage for Philly. We don't have that. Neutral field, which is going to be probably easily majority of Packers fans. So you got another road game that's going to be, by all accounts, very Packer fan heavy. Where's the problem? Where's the problem in this? I don't get it. So stop. Look at it from this standpoint. I think it's a competitive advantage for the Packers. It doesn't take away from a home game. In fact, they're getting 9 this year, for crying out loud, at Lambeau Field. They don't have to go to Philly and play in that hostile environment. It's a Friday night. Majority of us, yes. We work Monday through Friday. You get to watch Packers game to open up the season, and then you got, you know what, the rest of the weekend to do whatever the heck you want. The one downfall, the one stinky thing about it, it does schedule up against high school football. So you may have to record it and watch it for the whole weekend. That I would grant you. Anything else, I don't see the worth of complaining about it. I don't see it. So that's just my two cents on it. I know maybe I'm honestly surprised about why so many people are kind of complaining about it, to be honest with you. I really am. All right, before we take a break and we get to some Bucks and Brewers chat here, let's do our beer of the month. We're going to try to do this every single month. We're going to go to Kona Brewing Company. So a little bit about Kona Brewing Company. It was founded by a father and son team, Cameron Healy and Spoon Kalsa. The pair had a vision to reflect the spirit, culture, and beauty of Hawaii in a collection of local island beers. So in 1994, they set out for the Big Island to bring their dream to life. Kona Big Wave. This is the beer that I've had a couple of them, and it's pretty darn tasty. Pretty darn tasty. Kona Big Wave, originally brewed as Pacific Golden Ale, was brewed in 1994 and inspired by the legendary waves in Hawaii. Now, Kona Big Wave has rebranded from Kona Brewing Company, and, well, you've probably seen it out in stores, including at our good friends in Hy-Vee, and get this, through May 14th. So April 22nd through May 14th, okay? It's coming up here. Save $3. I'm giving you a little bit of a tease. Save $3 on King's Hawaiian Buns. You know those really good buns? So now when you're grilling out or something, or you got some sandwiches, love Hawaiian buns. Save $3 on King's Hawaiian Buns with the purchase of a six-pack or larger of Kona Big Wave instantly. So alcohol by volume, little nuggets here, 4.4%. You want a little food pairings with this. Big Wave's lighter body and bright hop aroma and taste make it a natural choice to enjoy, maybe a little seafood, a little fish fry or something like that, poultry, salads, little light pasta dishes over there. So our featured beer of the month, Kona Big Wave, baby. Really good stuff. All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk some Bucks and Brewers after these quick words. Perks. I love Perks. You love Perks. We all love Perks. And one of the best perks you could find in the Chippewa Valley is Hy-Vee Perks. Hy-Vee Perks is a free and easy program for Hy-Vee shoppers. Access exclusive Perks prices, earn discounts on gas when you purchase designated products at Hy-Vee, and save more with exclusive deals, offers, and rewards. The best part? It's free to join. Not a part of Hy-Vee Perks yet? No worries. Just stop by Hy-Vee in Eau Claire to sign up. Start taking advantage of the best shopping deals in the Chippewa Valley right now with Hy-Vee and Hy-Vee Perks. Toyson Ford is your go-to destination for quality vehicles and exceptional service. At Toyson Ford, they have a vast selection of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs to fit your lifestyle and budget. Their dedicated team is there to make your car buying experience a breeze. They offer financing options that suit your needs and a service center that keeps your vehicle running smoothly. Come on down to Toyson Ford and test drive your dream car today. They're located at 1000 Chippewa Crossing Boulevard in Chippewa Falls. Toyson Ford, where your road to excellence begins. We're going to mix it up here. We're going to talk some both we'll talk both Bucks and Brewers. So last night, both teams picking up wins, but with the Bucks kind of getting overshadowed here a little bit. A lot of questions, unknowns, concern surrounding Giannis after leaving the game. Had to be helped up a little bit. Had to looked like he was going to be helped off the court, but then walked off under his own power, but with a very noticeable limp. It was a non-contact injury after he inbounded the pass to Damian Lillard, took a few steps, and just went to the ground there. Bucks are calling it a left calf strain. We'll see how long he's going to be out here. I would have to imagine at this point in time, he's probably not going to play in the next or the final three games here of the regular season for the Bucks, which includes tonight's game against Orlando, OKC on Friday, and then to wrap up the regular season, Orlando on Sunday. And these are big games. I mean, you got the Bucks team, a Bucks team that is still trying to compete try to get that second seed in the Eastern Conference. They're holding on to a one-game lead over the Knicks right now. Orlando's still in it. Orlando's a couple games back, and, well, quickest way for Orlando to make up that ground and get up there is to play the Bucks, and they play the Bucks twice. So, not at a great moment, obviously. It's never a great moment when your star player has an injury, but especially at this point in time here. And I think a lot of us, you know, when you think of non-contact injury, whenever you hear that phrase that gets thrown out there in sports, you think of, obviously, ACL. I mean, that's the first one when you hear of a non-contact injury. But when you watched it, and then kind of knowing that Giannis was dealing with some Achilles tendonitis, you're like, oh, no. Did something happen there? Now, my first thought was like, oh, gosh, remember KD a few years ago was dealing with a calf thing, and then the Achilles happened? I mean, I really hope it doesn't turn into something like that or is something like that, but, man, Bucks got to be careful with this. Don't expect Giannis to play these next three games. Don't expect him. I wouldn't. Shut him down for these next three. Shut him down. I would love him out there, but not at this risk. And this just, Dame, Middleton, Brooke, Bobby, Beasley, Beverly, next man up. Everybody else has got to get it going, okay? Got to get it going. Step up in these next three games. Fill in from a collective effort. One guy can't just fill in for Giannis. It's got to be a team effort. It's got to be a collective effort here. Bunch of different guys have to do it. And I think they can. When they're on their game, they can go out there and I think beat a team like Orlando. But, I mean, this is why you bring in a guy. Again, we said it earlier this season. This is why you have a guy like Damian Lillard now on your team. Because when Giannis is out, when your guy is out, who's that next guy? Who's the next one? Dame. Got to be Dame now in these next three. He has got to be that guy that steps up and is like, okay, I'm going to carry you guys. I got it. I'll be your guy, but we need everybody now to just take it up one more step. Because these aren't cake games coming up. These aren't easy games by any means. Orlando's hungry. Orlando's playing well, and they got something to play for right now. They want that two seed. You know you're going to get their best shot. They're going to come out punching right away. They're a young team. They don't know any better. Got a young Magic team going up against a veteran team like the Bucks. It'd be dangerous sometimes, man. But this is why you bring in a guy like a Damian Lillard for when Giannis is done, or I shouldn't say done, when Giannis is out. All right, now you got another guy that could kind of carry his team on the back a little bit. It's going to take just an extra step from everybody else, though. That's a Middleton. Now, I'll be curious tonight. You know, we mentioned it yesterday, back-to-back games, right? Middleton hasn't played a ton of back-to-back games. We got a back-to-back game, and now no Giannis. Does that change things? I mean, if Middleton's ready to go and he's cleared and all that, I'd play him. Just me, though. And I'm probably a little bit more, you know, needy. I go out there and get it done and pick up this win. Last win at home, last regular season game at home. Pick up the win. Start to get that little bit of momentum here. But last night's game, this was a Bucks team that came out with a lot of energy. I mean, you had Patrick Beverley now inserted into the starting lineup. Jay Crowder didn't play last night. Malik Beasley came off the bench. Patrick Beverley rewarded Doc Rivers' decision to start him by leading the team in scoring. Was hot from three. Like we mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, Patrick Beverley's got an interesting offensive game. He's not known for his offensive play. Right? We know that. Which is, I kind of chuckle. I was thinking about this last night watching Patrick Beverley, and I can't remember who said it was. One of the commentators said it too, that, you know, Beverley's not known for his offensive play and such. And I'm like, every basketball player growing up, not a lot of them get in there just or start playing basketball just to like, hey, I want to play defense. You know, I'll be that guy down there. I mean, even Dennis Rodman, for crying out loud, started off and was, you know, was kind of a scoring dude in college and in Pistons and such, and then developed into a defensive player and found a role that way too. But just always kind of shows like, yeah, players don't like, you know, these kids don't grow up and young guys don't grow up and say, I want to play basketball just to play defense. Not a lot. I don't know of another one that does that. But anyways, you watch Patrick Beverley's game, and it's just, you know, when you hear of a player that's like not, you know, he's not a shoot-first mentality or he's not known for his offense, you think, okay, maybe a guy down on the block like a Dennis Rodman, right? Patrick Beverley's got a little bit of a different game. If he's got an open three, he's going to take it like he did last night. He's not going to shoot you a mid-range a whole lot, although he had a sweet hook shot. Kind of had to because shot clock was running out last night. If he's next to the rim, he'll put it up there. But the guy will dribble through the lane. He will dribble around, try to make that extra pass, try to set something else up. He's all over the place. The dude is full of energy. Kind of, I mean, he's that kid that is, you know, reminds me sometimes in like youth basketball that's just dribbling around and not even looking to shoot it up, but like will dribble through the lane and go back out and all that sort of stuff. I mean, he's all over the place. Now, I don't know if this was like the thing. It's like, oh, that one switch of putting Patrick Beverley in the starting lineup that is going to just completely change the fortunes of the Bucks now. Had to try something. But he definitely brings a little bit more energy to that starting unit. Brings a little bit more defense. And the Bucks, I mean, they started off hot last night. Brook Lopez, setting the tone early. Brook was setting the tone early from three. Patrick Beverley was setting the tone. Giannis was doing his thing. He had contributions from all across the board. If the Bucks can play like that, night in and night out, game in and game out, then they'll be in good shape. And I know they're confident, and they feel like they can be a postseason team, or a better postseason team, excuse me. They can play better in the postseason. Let's see it. I think there's going to be a lot of skepticism, though, too, because, I mean, they should have beat Washington. They should have beat Memphis. They should have beat Toronto. Probably should have beaten the Knicks, too. So they got to do it more than just one game. Let's see what they've got in store in these next four. But this is why you bring in a Dame. And I want to see Chris Middleton take another step here, too. I mean, I've liked his role when he's out there. You know, not a main scoring dude. He's averaged 15 points a game, 5.3 assists, just under 5 rebounds a game. But with no Giannis, he's going to have to step up his game here a little bit more too. He's going to have to be a little bit more of an offensive scoring threat. Tip time for tonight's game is going to be at 6:30 again with the Brewers and the Bucks, both with games tonight. A little bit of a programming note to pass along. The Bucks will be on our sister station 95.9 and 11:50. Brewers will be on 105.1 FM and 790 AM. Speaking of the Brewers, nice win for the Crew last night too. Joe Ross, second start of the season, goes out there, throws 6 1/3, picks up his first win, just 2 earned runs, 7 strikeouts, a big-time performance. When you put it into perspective of Brewers aren't going to have an off day until next Thursday. They haven't had an off day since last Thursday, right? Yeah, the 4th. Bullpen has been used quite a bit here. Wade Miley is making his first start tonight. Probably going to be a shorter start. So the fact that Joe Ross went out there and ate up some innings, throwing some quality ball, big start for Ross there. Big start there. And then offensively, Brewers. Christian Yelich, tack on three more RBIs for him. His OPS now is up to a 1.116. Collected a couple hits last night. Sal Frelick, after a little bit of a slow start on the offensive side of things, Pat Murphy moves him down in the batting order. In his last 25 at-bats, the kid has hit 400, collected 10 hits. His average now is up to a 324, but he got 3 more hits last night. Blake Perkins, for crying out loud, 3 hits, the 9-hitter, 3 hits, 3 RBIs for him too. So offense helping out, 13 total hits on 9 runs. Reds tried to make it close there, putting up 2 runs apiece in the 7th and the 8th. And then they put on a couple runners right away in the 9th, but the Brewers able to lock that thing down and pick up a win to improve to 7-3 in the first 10 games of this regular season. So now we get Wade Miley, his first appearance, his first start of the season for the Crew. What should be a realistic expectation for Wade Miley? I think a realistic expectation for him, for me personally. Well, I mean, if you're looking at the innings he's pitched, last year he went 120. The year prior, 37. The year before that was 163. Then it was 14. Then it was once. Take a look at this. Since 2016, okay? We'll go 2016. I mean, he's been in the league since 2011. 2011, he had 40 innings pitched. Then it was 194, 202, 201, 193, 166 in 2016. Then in 2017, he had 157. Okay. So, I mean, not bad compared to today's standards, right? But 2017, he had 157. Milwaukee, 80. Then Houston, 167. Cincinnati, 14. Then 163. So he's gone 157, 80, 167, 14, 163, 37, 120. We go based off history. It's like, oh boy, he might get less than 100 innings this year. I'm hoping for at least 100. I'm hoping for 100. We didn't get to see a whole lot of him in spring training. You hope he's well rested and such, but Wade Miley, it's kind of an unknown here at this point. So I hope we get 100 innings from him, and still not a ton. It's not a lot, but that's my expectation. Let's kind of break this pattern that he's been in, where one year he's got over 100, and the next he's got, you know, just double digit innings, not even triple. That's my expectation for him, and I think the Brewers are going to. I wouldn't be surprised if this is kind of maybe initially. In his first few starts, it's almost a piggyback start where he's going to go out there and hopefully maybe give you between 3 and 4 innings, and then they go to the next arm to try to, I don't know, kind of keep them fresh throughout the season here. It's what it kind of feels like to me at this point. But Wade Miley goes out there, and Wade Miley has a year like he did last year. I mean, 9-4, 3.14 ERA. I'd be satisfied with that for this year. Heck yeah. I'd be good with that. So I'm excited to see him and see how he looks tonight. It'll be a shorter start, but the way this offense is rolling too, maybe this offense can give him an early lead, put up some runs early. Christian Yelich, though, continues his good start to the season. Contreras picked up another hit too. So let's ride, as Russell Wilson used to say, right? Let's ride. Let's keep this going, baby. Pick up another win. Let's pick up another win tonight. All right, that's going to do it for us on this episode of the Man Cave Podcast. Big thanks for tuning in, and as always, if you haven't done so already, if you could give us a 5-star rating to the podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, like on Spotify or Apple, and a positive review so others can find the podcast. If you haven't, click that follow and subscribe button so you never miss another episode, because sometimes we drop a few episodes in one day. Until next time, I'm Dan Casper, and I will talk to you on the next episode of the Man Cave Podcast.